Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Daigle Bites ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Daigle Bites podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Daigle. I'm a singer that hails from the deep swamps of Louisiana. I ventured my way up to Nashville to take the risk of jumping in on the pipe dream of singing on stages other than the ones I grew up seeing. Along this journey, I wrote a song called You Say, and what came next absolutely changed my life. I found myself in tour buses, singing on stages all over the world. And every single night, I would get asked the question, what would Lauren Daigle be doing if she hadn't pursued music? Well, this season of Daigle Bites is answering just that. And I'm bringing you along with me on this adventure. I'm inviting new friends that I've just met and old friends that I've known for a long time to come and explore what it is like to pursue their passions. I know that they've inspired me, and I'm sure that they will probably do the exact same thing for you. So my absolute hope is that as you're sitting and you're listening, you then too can be inspired. You then too can ask the question, what is it that I would love to do with my life? And maybe along the way, you'll find steps to making that happen. So pull up a seat. Join us in the conversation. You have a place here. This is the Daigle Bites podcast on Amazon Music. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Daigle Bites podcast. Today you are in for such a treat. This next guest I've actually known since nearly the beginning of my career. She is such a doll. She actually sang all the background vocals on my Look Up Child album. She flew in from California where she was living at the time and did every single song within less than 48 hours. But you probably know her better as the artist and poet, Morgan Harper Nichols. Morgan's popular Instagram feed, at Morgan Harper Nichols, has garnered a loyal online community of over 2 million, and she is the author of All Along You Were Blooming, a book of poems and art she created in response to the personal stories submitted by her friends and followers. I remember where I was when Morgan showed me her Instagram for the very first time, where she basically said, oh, I just have these little pieces of art that I started doing on my iPad just as a creative outlet. And at the time, she had about 10,000 followers on Instagram. Well, lo and behold, people started submitting stories and asking if she could curate pieces of work specifically for their story. So she did. And it became a beautiful sensation that has exploded into places like Anthropology, Adobe, and Coach. Today, we're going to be talking about our mutual love of stationery lines and the desire to create, where Morgan starts in her creative process, and how Morgan sang background vocals on Look Up Child. I cannot wait for you to hear all of the things that she has to say with such eloquence. This is my dear friend, Morgan Harper Nichols. We are here with my dear friend, Morgan Harper Nichols, and I'm so, so proud of all that you've done. For all the people listening in right now, Morgan has these beautiful canvases behind her that I'm loving how colorful they are. I thought all of your work was on an iPad, and to see that you're doing some tangible painting is amazing. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well,
thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. And yeah, it's interesting. I've kind of like ebbed and flowed out of painting on canvas, but over the past few years, you know, being home more, I'm like, yeah, let's bring out the canvases again. So, I've been doing a whole lot more painting, and a lot of it's honestly just for fun. I mean, it's a nice just break and a shift, you know, from like staring at a screen and just being able to just go over and play with paint. I feel like 6-year-old me is really happy right now that I'm doing this. So, yeah.
How old are you, Morgan?
I'm 30, almost 32. Like,
okay. Yeah. That makes me excited because I'm 30 right now, and maybe by 32, I'll be closer to my 6-year-old self via painting.
I love
painting, but I just, girl, I'm not good at it. That's the bottom line. I'm just not good at it.
I'm not gonna lie, it is intimidating. Like, even as somebody who has painted a lot, it's one of those things where it's like, it's like, oh my gosh, like these material, dude, I have to know what to do with them. I still feel that way. So, but I always just like tell people this. I'm like, if nothing else, just start with the color blue. Just start with some blue and a little bit of water. You can't go wrong. So,
okay. What is it about blue specifically?
I think
that color?
There's like some like really technical stuff that I don't know how to explain, but it's something about the pigment itself that it's just a lot more forgiving and a lot more like, it's just like if it's heavier, if it's light, like it can create lots of really cool dimensions. And it's hard to get there with other colors. Like for instance, if you just start with yellow, yellow is very hard to kind of get to pop on its own. But there's something about blue. Like I literally, like, you know, you're able to see this table behind me. I was doing like a small series of some blue watercolor paintings. And all it was just like a swoosh of blue on every page. And then like my husband walked by and he was like, ooh. And I was like, this isn't even really that much. But yeah, so just a little trade secret that I just made up. But yeah.
Okay, I think I'm going to do that.
Blue is the way to go.
I have a lunch with a friend tomorrow and I'm going to say, let's ditch lunch and let's paint blue. Because
yes.
I've got to get my hands dirty. I love diving in.
Yes.
Shall we tell the backstory of how we know each other?
Yeah, we totally should.
Okay. So everybody listening in, Morgan is also an incredible singer. And we met via my producer, Paul Mabry.
Yes.
I think I sang on your record first, right?
Yeah, because I think at some point we were working on music at the same time with Paul. So I think that was how we like kind of officially met, which that was just so cool. Cause I mean, Paul's work, obviously amazing. And yeah, so he was working on my stuff and your stuff. So then like, I think that was like, oh, y'all can sing on each other's stuff.
Yes. It was.
And that was like so long ago. I feel like that was in maybe like 2014 when that first happened.
I remember walking in and hearing your voice and thinking, wait, what? Like my brain had just, I don't know, I was so taken by the texture and the tone and how you are able to deliver. It's almost like, you know what, honestly, and I'm just saying this for the first time, it's like the poetry that everybody gets to experience that comes out of you, you were able to channel that into a sound.
And thank you.
I mean, I will never forget the first time hearing your voice. And I immediately started studying and thinking, how can I bring this many shapes and these depths of color to sound? How do I do this? You have such an incredible gift. Everybody listening in, my favorite was Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Oh my goodness.
And we were shouting from the mountain.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Wow.
Girl, I still pull that thing up. I still pull it up. I'm like, I gotta listen to it. It's just so alive and it's so beautiful. Mm. So we worked in, that was at Ed Cash's studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His old one. And we ended up singing there. And then fast forward, I think it was like 2 years later.
Yeah.
Or three years later.
I can't remember how long it was between like... All I know is I was living in LA at the time.
Yep.
And I don't know if this is the right, I feel like where I was living there early 2018, but I don't know if that math is right.
Yes,
I don't know.
That math is totally right. That's when it was because we released the record late 2018.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
And I remember at the time you said, we were like, so what have you been up to lately, Morgan? And you said, yeah, I've got this. Well, it's kind of an art outlet. You were like unsure still at the time of what it was. You were just kind of like, I don't know. I just started, you know, painting these things on my iPad. And I think you had like maybe 10,000 followers. Like it was
very small at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. It was... And you're like, I don't know. I just love it. But I don't even think it had taken on the shape of people sending in stories. And I don't know if it had even gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, I had kind of launched that part not too long before, but it was very not like in a big way. So I was still just trying to figure out like, what is this? Like how is this going to play out? I didn't know. I was still very much so just trying stuff. And Yeah, it's a lot has happened since
a
then.
Lot has happened. So take us on that journey. Tell us, tell us what, first of all, what is the name? Do you just go by Morgan Harper Nichols?
Yeah, I feel like I'm really, I'm actually really bad at naming things, like naming projects. And like I, for instance, like with an album, I haven't come up with an album in forever. And I'm like, I think I'll just call it Morgan Harper Nichols number two. Like, I don't even know.
Yes.
Like, I'm just like, I'm surprisingly really bad at naming things. So I never end up coming up with a name for the project. But in a way, I feel like that's kind of the beauty of it, because I don't feel this pressure of like, okay, I've got to keep doing this forever. Like, since I created it, I've kind of phased in and out of like doing it all the time, or, you know, and I kind of like that. So honestly, but I will say that, I mean, writing for people and encouraging people to kind of like send me a message and then I just respond with art, that really did motivate me to just put my art out there more and try new things with it. So I, for some reason, like just ended up sticking with that for a few years. I was just like, I'm just going to share something every day or almost every day, even if it's smaller, you know, just like something simple, even if it's just like a repost, I'm just going to keep showing up and see what happens. And I think it was kind of the big shift that ended up happening in that same year. I want to say it was like right around the time, maybe like a few weeks before or after I flew out to Nashville to sing on your record, that I got an email from a publisher that was like, we'd like to do a book with you. And that was just like a pretty big shift, because I didn't have a literary agent. I didn't know. I mean, of course, I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to make a book with art and poetry, but I didn't know how to do that. So, yeah, it was during that time that the talks and negotiations started with my first book deal. And that was just like, okay, so I'm doing something. So I was like, at least until the book comes out, like I'll just keep sharing. So the book was scheduled, came out in January 2020. So I was like, well, until then, I'll just keep sharing and figuring it out. So from then to January 2020 was when I really started to get a lot more collaborations. And they all came from Instagram. I mean, I think my first really big one was with Coach Handbags. I did something for a nonprofit they were working with. And then they came back again and wanted to do another collaboration. And all of it was just like finding me from my Instagram. And I was like, whoa, I guess I'm doing something right. So, and then kind of like the third component, so it's like the books. And then it was like the collaborations were starting. And then like the third thing was I got reached out to by an app developer. And then we started making an app together. And then the fourth, and I don't want to say final thing, but it was kind of like the like, okay, we're doing enough stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And that was when I got reached out to by a studio in California called French Studio. And what they do is they make journals and planners and all that kind of stuff. So I remember meeting with them and they were like, yeah, we'd love to just talk with you about like making a few products. And I was like, sure, let's go check it out. And then we started talking and they're like, oh, by the way, we think Barnes & Noble might want this one. I was like, well, wait a second. I thought you were just like making some journals. I didn't know they were going like out in the world like that. So that's
so they were almost like a distribution company at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they like make all of the journals and planners, and then like they have, you know, buyers and things. So I didn't know anything about that world. I was just like, sounds cool. So yeah, since then I've been doing a lot of stuff like that. So I've had like candles, packaging, like all kinds of stuff. So all of it kind of stemming from just making art. And I think this is something that's really cool about art, and you know this, it's like you put something out there, but then other people have like their way of connecting with it. And they can see, sometimes other people can see things in your art that you can't see yourself.
Yes.
And I just love that. I'm just like, I live for that. And it's just like, it's such like a reminder to just like surrender, you know, just like, just do your part. And then like the rest, other people are going to be able to see things in it that you can't see, which I just think is so cool.
I remember one time this lady telling me, hey, your songs are the seeds, but the people are the scatterers.
Oh,
and there was just something so beautiful about that imagery of like oh yeah, this is simply doing my part, it really actually minimizes your role. It keeps you in a very humble state while being able to do something that you just love, that makes you come alive, you know?
Yeah.
So when did you start the process of inviting people's stories to become a part of your art?
Yeah. So I think the first time that I shared about it was, it was in late 2017, but I shared about it in like a really kind of passive way. Like I literally just posted it on my Instagram story. I still have the screenshot of the graphic, which I think is so, the screenshot of the graphic actually has so much to unpack in it, because it was a white background and the text that I used was light gray. Like you could barely even see it.
See it.
And I'm like, to me, I was like subconsciously, I think I was struggling to like really own this idea. I think I was just like, I have this idea, but I don't know how people are going to receive it. So I'm just going to like throw it up on the Instagram story and just see what happens. So it was out there, but I was just kind of like, oh, I don't really know.
It was elusive.
Like, what's going to happen with it? So I was doing it. I was responding to people with art and poetry just through Instagram DMs, but I never like, I wasn't making like that big of a deal out of it. Cause I was just like, I don't even know what this thing is. And then it was like that following year, 2018, that some of these poems I started to write for people, like they started sharing them, and then like bigger accounts and like other people were seeing them and sharing them, and then it word just kind of got around and I started getting DMs like, hey, I heard you're writing things for people. So it was kind of like a slow build, but even to this day, I'm like, I don't think I ever did like a big, like solid announcement of like, here's what I'm doing for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. It was just like kind of slowly building. And it started kind of late 2017. So yeah.
And that's kind of what launched your book, correct?
Yeah. So that was kind of like the very beginning conversations of the book when it came out. It was just like, wow, we see what you've been doing with writing with other people in mind. And, you know, how can we bring that to a book? Which that was incredibly intimidating, but somehow eventually I got the words on the page.
I am so proud of you, Morgan. Like genuinely, just from being in the studio to this, I'm like, oh my gosh, it is so special. Like so special. Mm-hmm. You're doing something that I am not only inspired by, but I've always longed to make a stationery line. I love writing letters. My grandparents and I, we were pen pals over the past tour, and I love it. And I feel like writing letters and writing notes, like words are such an incredible tool to communicate the way you love someone or thoughts that you're experiencing. There's just so many things that words can bring forth to create life in a way. So, I have the whole concept and everything of this stationery line and basically the goal of getting letters into loved ones' hands, you know?
Yeah.
But what is one story from that moment of saying, okay, I'm just going to put this out and see where it goes, you know, kind of the hesitancy there that you realize that effort of boldness and bravery really paid off? Like, what is one story that you're like, I did it for this reason?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I have like, I'm all about like those full circle moments where it's just like, oh my gosh, I remember where I started.
Yeah.
And then I remember all the way back, and I have, you know, how I got there. And I have a few of those, but I think one that stands out to me the most, because I can just remember so many of the details of it, but I had someone message me, and she was just kind of, expressing like some of the things that she was going through and feeling really kind of insecure and just sort of doubting her abilities and just questioning her place in the world. And it was definitely like a story about just someone who just is creative and just wanting to do more. So I wrote something to her, and it said, this is the season that she will make beautiful things, not perfect things, that speak to who she is and who she is called to be. And I felt like that was all I could say. And at the moment, it felt like it wasn't enough. Like I felt like, I was like, this doesn't feel practical. I was like, this doesn't feel like, I don't feel like I quite got to what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. However, she responded and she really connected with it and was like, thank you so much for, you know, writing this with me in mind. And that ended up being like the first image that ended up being in my online shop. It ended up being on my first coffee mug, and it ended up being on this sweatshirt that I did with Anthropology. Like, it just kept a t-shirt I did with Anthropology. Like, it like it showed up everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. I was like, that was literally the moment where I felt like the most doubt about sharing this with someone. I felt like it wasn't enough, but it's kind of like what you said, that woman shared with you about like what you make is the seed and other people are the scatterers, because I felt like it was like that, because I was like, I didn't see the potential in this at all. I never would have thought that would have happened. So I think it was actually a year later. So I think I sent that to her, I want to say in 2019. And then Valentine's Day 2020 is when I got to see that quote on a t-shirt in the Anthropology window display in LA. And I was just like,
wow.
that was just like, whoa, I never could have imagined that would have been the trajectory of that. So
it's incredible that the thing that you were saying to her is what you needed for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
That is amazing. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And here you are like, oh God, I don't know if it was perfect enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was enough.
Yeah.
Which would represent perfection. You
know?
Yeah. And then yet what you're saying to her is it doesn't have to be perfect. And here you are. I love the moments where you feel the most inadequate, and it's almost like God just takes them and rocket launches them.
Yeah.
And he's like that classic verse of, my power is made perfect in your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get to see those moments whenever we're weak, and he's able to catapult things from what we might feel
goodness.
Is inadequate, you know?
Yeah, that's why I would say, like, I feel like Moses is always just like my favorite, because I feel like Moses' story is like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't do this. And God's like, well, that's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do.
Yep.
And I often feel like that's my story. So I turn to that often, because it's like, yeah, it's so much, it's not about our abilities. Like, it's what God can do through us, which I just think is so amazing.
When I sit down on my iPad and try to create something, I'm going to think about this
yes.
moment. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm trying to pretend like I know what I'm doing when I absolutely don't. Let's just co-partner, God. Just show me what it's like to do this, because there's something so much more rich about that experience in the first place, you know, when you feel like a piece of your soul is coming alive because he is investing into the moment with you. There's something so rich about that.
Yeah.
That I just love. I'm so inspired by you. I can't believe like the journey and hearing how far you've come. Mm. Now, I do know that the last time we had talked, I think it was like 3 years ago, we were going to have you fly back to do something else. And you're like, hey, y'all, some health things are going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was connected or not, but I just read recently that you were diagnosed with autism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
is this something you like to speak about and advocate for?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I was diagnosed a year ago, and there had been different seasons in my life where I had thought about that could be a possibility. And just with my sister also having a neurological condition, like, it wasn't like that far off. Like, it was just like, okay, there could be something going on here. So I ended up like having, I've had like these different moments in my life where I was struggling with different things. I didn't know why. And a lot of it had to do with sensory issues. So that's just one example. But for instance, like when I used to tour with my sister and she was doing like these arena tours and everything, I used to walk away, and sometimes I'm just like singing BGVs and playing guitar, and I would walk off stage sometimes, like, and I would literally just be shaking. And I would feel so overwhelmed and so tired. And I used to think that it was like, I'm like, oh, maybe it's because I didn't have enough sleep, or, you know, maybe my, you know, like in-ears were just way too loud that night.
Ringing,
or
yeah.
Maybe I like had too much caffeine. Like, I would always just attribute it to something like that. But I would literally, like, sometimes I felt like I wanted to just cry. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, flash forward to 2020, I'm watching TikTok videos, and I actually started seeing videos of women who have been diagnosed as adults who are autistic. And a lot of them were talking about sensory issues and sensory overload, and how a lot of people, even who have an autism diagnosis, also may have a sensory processing disorder, and maybe sometimes loud music can have an effect. I'm like, oh, whoa, hold on, wait a second. I was like, that sounds like me. So yeah, I was able to find a specialist where I lived. I was just Googling around and I found someone, and it was like a several month process, and I ended up getting diagnosed. But yeah, I mean, essentially it's just my nervous system just gets affected by a lot of different things, especially on that sensory level. And I just had no idea. Like I had no clue. Like I had no, I had no clue why I was just like so fatigued, so tired, getting sick. Cause if you're not getting sleep, that pretty much affects everything. So it's everything. Like, if you're not rested, if you're tense, if you're stressed, like that can literally affect so many other things. So I had all this just like mounds of stress just coming from so many different areas. I didn't know where it was coming from. But yeah, it's been very, very eye-opening. And honestly, when I received the diagnosis, I mean, it was, for me, it was empowering. I mean, you know, it's like, I know that receiving a diagnosis is not, does not always feel empowering for different people for so many different reasons. And for me in that moment, though, it felt very empowering because it was like, now I have language for these experiences. Yeah. And now I know where all of that was coming from. So, yeah.
Have you seen that play out in your art?
Yes, I have. Because so I keep focusing on like the sensory part of it. That's not the only part, but that is like a huge part of it. And this is where I've seen how it plays out in my art. So because I have this sensitivity to color, sound, it does. I realize it's like even the sensitivity I have to my own singing voice. I'm like, I know exactly like where I need to be, like to get certain sounds like out of myself. And I'm very aware of it. So I was like, yeah, I think that that has to do with the fact that like, even as I'm speaking now, like I'm very aware of how it feels in my entire body. So one, that can be exhausting. Two, the other side of it is, it allows me to be more aware and more present to the work. So like even everything I was sharing with you about like the color blue and how painting with blue, I'm like, I can see blue working in real time and I can see how the page is absorbing it. I can see the many values of that blue within the blue, and it helps me figure out, oh, okay, I know what colors to bring in next. I know how to kind of pull this out and bring this in. And yeah, I think all of that is a part of me having to have learned how to really kind of work through all these different sensory things. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is amazing. You're actually giving me a lot of language that is making me a little curious about. Every time I go somewhere, people tell me, like, whether it's a doctor or whatever, oh, you're hypersensitive. I've heard that word for so long. You are hypersensitive. Not emotionally. Like, you know so many sensations that are happening in your body at the same time. Like, it's kind of wild. We don't really ever see this. And I'm like, what do you mean? You can't feel this at the same time as this, this, this. And they're like, no. So it's kind of making me curious. I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. This is kind of fascinating. It's, you know, you're teaching me
a lot. I think that there's definitely, with people, you know, such as yourself who are artists, you know, like I think that there's some overlap for a lot of us.
Yes. Yeah. We just started partnering with a company to put sensory rooms into every arena size venue.
Oh, I love that.
So that if kids or adults need to go and decompress, whether it's autism or PTSD, whatever
that
sensory need. Yeah. Wow. So it's little rooms where people can go in for like 15-minute windows just to kind of decompress, de-stress, because, you know, there's so much activity in shows, especially arena-sized shows. There's so much stimulation.
Yeah.
And I just really, we started it because we wanted families to be able to come to shows, because a lot of times, you know, it's like, well, the mom is staying back with the child because there's a sensory issue there. They're not going to be able to make it. And then, you know, somebody else has taken the other daughter or whatever, you know. And we wanted to figure out a way for the entire family to be able to come and enjoy.
Yeah.
Or people that might, you know, feel isolated from their PTSD or their autism, might be afraid of being triggered. And making it a lot more understanding for the general public. Like, where there's a space that's like, hey, no, this is a lot of people. A lot of people go through this. When someone is having just a moment of being overstimulated, instead of looking at them and wondering what's happening, saying, hey, what if the person next to them leaned over and was like, oh, I know, I actually know about this from the awareness that has been brought, from the advocacy that's been brought. And I think this venue has a room upstairs if you need to just take your child and love on them for a second, get them to not have a breakdown or whatever. I feel like just these spaces really provide places for families and stuff. So thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, and I love what that about the venues. That's something I hadn't even thought about. Like I heard about just since me getting diagnosed that like movie theaters now, a lot of movie theaters have showings of movies where the sound is not as loud, and I was just
I'm going to that too.
I haven't made this one yet, but I'm like, oh my gosh, So yeah, I just love that. I feel like collectively we're just having more conversations about this because you know, even when I shared about my diagnosis like on social media, like I got so much support. I didn't know what to expect. I honestly shared it like I was like, I don't know, I might get a whole bunch of like out there comments. I don't know what I'm gonna get. And I was like, but as long as, you know, at least one person feels seen in what I share, that's what matters. But I was so surprised by like the support I got. And I did get some other comments, but whatever. Like it was still overwhelming support. And I just, that just makes me really excited because I feel like we're in a time where more people are open to the fact that, yeah, we're all different and we all have different capabilities and ways of being in the world. And yeah, that's just so good to hear.
I know. A more inclusive environment. It's awesome. I'm proud of your boldness. Okay. Changing lanes just a little bit. You have a book about practicing peace.
Yes, I do.
Yes. They just sent it to me and I cannot wait.
Awesome.
I can't wait to start. You've always, as long as I've known you, you've always carried the presence of peace everywhere you go. You are like so steady. It's honestly the peace that you carry is it's actually reliable. And I say this not with pressure intended. I say it in the way of like, you kind of know what to expect when you walk into the room because of this peace that you just constantly stay in a position of, which is so beautiful. I admire it. What are your four practical ways to practice peace?
Yes. So, you know, one thing I've learned, and a lot of it was what I've been learning along the way. I didn't realize it was connected to being autistic, but a lot of it is. And because I just have to deal with so much real time, how to navigate with this world, a lot of it has to do with how I feel in my body and just taking deep breaths all the time. Like, I remember when I was younger, I would take deep breaths and like other kids would say like, what's wrong with you? Like, why do you keep like huffing and puffing? And I'm like, I just have to do it all the time. Like just to, and I wouldn't have used this language when I was younger, but to like ground myself and to like just release any amount of tension that I can release just to be present in that moment. And, you know, it's just like, I don't think it's any coincidence that God has given us these bodies that can tell us so much just by taking a moment to take a deep breath. So I start there, and that's where I start talking about in the book. I just talk about like, hey, when I'm writing in my poetry about inhaling and exhaling, I mean that literally. I'm like, I have to do it. And if nothing else, if this book just encourages you and reminds you like to take as many deep breaths as possible, I feel like it's done its job. And then from there, I just go deeper into other practices that I've found throughout my life that helped me get to that peaceful place. And one of them I talk about is music. And I talk about how, and this is something that was really important for me to include because, you know, being a singer, being a vocalist, being a musician, sometimes I feel like music, and I don't know if you have this experience, like music becomes something that we make. So mm-hmm. it's like, but it's a totally different experience receiving the music and yes. listening to it and letting the music move you without you having to like be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So that's something I've actually just been practicing more of, like, how can I just more mindfully listen to music and let the actual sounds like just like speak to me and calm me. So one thing I talk about in the book is how classical music has helped me do that, because it's just less distracting. You know, I'm just like, I don't know how to play violin, so I'm not thinking about the violin parts as near as much as I would, you know, in other kinds of music. So yeah, I just kind of really nerd out and I just go through every little thing. I'm like, here's just like a hodgepodge of stuff that mm-hmm. I've been learning, and I hope that it can help others as well, you know, find peace in their daily life. So yeah.
I love that. I've got a couple more questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you write a lot and create around the phrase that there is more to your story. What is that more that you talk about?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I'm so glad you asked this, because I do write that a lot. And at first it was something that just was kind of just naturally coming out. And I was like, I really do want to unpack this a little bit, because I was like, I'm not necessarily saying like more things. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's more to your story doesn't mean like, doesn't always quantify as something material. I'm like, sometimes it does, but mm-hmm. it's like, you know, it's deeper than that. And when I think of more, and what we need more of is more joy, more peace, more grace, more love, and that let's focus on those things being in abundance, and not just for ourselves, but for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And that just, for me, that's just something that I want to talk more about, because it's like, we don't know the answers for the future. Like, we don't have all of that. Like, if someone like, I'm sure you've been in a situation before where someone like asks you for advice and you're just like, okay, I'm going to tell you what I know, but I don't exactly know how it's going to play out for you. Even if you try the exact same thing. So it's like, we don't have that ability. We're not all knowing like that, but it's like, what we do know is that whatever happens, we're going to need more grace. We're going to mm-hmm. need more love. We're definitely going to need more peace in the world. So that's what I like to talk about, because I'm like, amidst all that we don't know, amidst all of the uncertainty, amidst all the questions, all the things that we can't agree on, let's agree that we do need more of this. We do need more love. We do need more joy. We do need more peace. So yeah, I'm just like, I'm just gonna keep writing about that until we have more of it.
Oh my gosh. I love until we have more of it. Mm. That's amazing. What does it mean that there is no finish line?
That's just a reality that I'm living in. It's just recognizing that even when, I mean, I've just been very blessed over these past few years to have reached some major milestones, like stuff that I thought was going to happen a decade from now, just like, here it is.
Yes.
And what I've discovered is, and I'm grateful for it. At the same time, it's like, none of those things define who I am. Like, they're just a part of my story. The story is life itself. And I have to learn that as long as I'm living, there's going to be something that I'm aiming toward, seeking to grow in. There's no arriving while I'm still here. So that's another thing that I end up sharing, because I'm seeing that over and over in my life, because a lot of times I'll get asked, like, when something happens, I'm really excited about it, and people ask, like, well, how do you feel? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel grateful. But at the same time, I'm like, I also just want to stay in a posture of just learning, and a posture of just like, this is, it's called a milestone because it's a stone on a path, you know, it's not like the finish line. So I'm in a posture of gratitude, and also in a posture of growing and just staying open to like, there's more to the story. So
I love just watching from afar that journey for you. Like, I'm not kidding. There have been so many moments that I've seen things pop up, and I'm like, from your Instagram or what have you, and I've just thought, man, this girl, she is crushing it. Mm-hmm. But to sit here on this call and see that who you are is still the same, I mean, that's the thing that's worth hanging up your hat on at the end of your life, when you say, okay, here I am. And it still allowed me to operate in the way that God made me. And it still allowed me to be who He created me to be. So I reached out to you on Instagram saying, girl, you're inspiring me, blowing my mind. They didn't set up this podcast. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
It was actually completely separate. I'd messaged you just because I was scrolling through and I was like, she so inspires me. I'm going to reach out to her and let her know. Like, she is, you have inspired me. You've literally birthed the idea of, hey, you can do this. You can do it. Just try. And so anyway, I was reaching out to you just nonchalantly. And then Elizabeth, who is the producer of this show, comes to the team and says, hey, what about Morgan Harper Nichols? Would you be interested in interviewing her? I was like, are you kidding? Are y'all in my head? I was like, that's amazing.
I just love that.
Where can everybody listening in find you?
Yeah, so I am Morgan Harper Nichols pretty much everywhere. So you can find me on Instagram, Morgan Harper Nichols, and then my website, morganharpernichols.com. I try to make it easy for you to be able to find everything, my app, my books, all that good stuff. So
awesome. Girl, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much
for your time. Thanks for sharing your insight. And I'm going to get the color blue and have a little fun.
yes, lots of blue.
Thank you, girl. It's good to see you. Daigle Bites is an Amazon Music podcast hosted by me, Lauren Daigle, and produced by Elizabeth Evans Media Productions. Hey, I'm Lauren Daigle. For more interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and to listen to every episode, follow us here exclusively on Amazon Music. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Daigle Bites ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Shimon Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.